Welcome to the Here Here podcast. Tonight we are joined by Dave Liotti, owner-operator of Wyndham Local and the Tap House, both on Main Street and Wyndham. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
It's good to be here.
Yes, sir. So right off the bat, if you want to give us a little history background before you moved up here that kind of set you up for running the businesses that you run.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Can I just say thank you to you guys for putting together a podcast? And, you know, I know this is like new. I'm one of the first guests here. But it's just cool to have a growing community, a developing community, and just cool things happening in the community. And it takes like people with an idea to just do it. And thank you for doing it.
Appreciate that.
Awesome.
Yeah, hats off to Evan. He does the
Evan,
lion's share of the labor. So
okay,
thank
cool.
you.
Yeah, great. So yeah, good to be here. So what was the question? How did I get here?
A little bit of your history of, you know, what you did before you came to Wyndham that kind of set you up before.
Yeah. Well, right. I before relocating upstate, I was in New York City for better part of 30 years. Early 90s. And I started coming up here about 15 years ago, and I was introduced to the area, not to Wyndham, but to the area, Durham specifically. Not East Durham either.
Okay.
Not East Durham, but the little hamlet of Durham.
The little hamlet of Durham.
Yeah, over the hill, right? Just a little podunk hamlet of Durham.
Yes, sir.
And I loved it, man. Yeah, I was coming up. My buddy had a house. He grew up around here. He knew the area well, so he introduced me, and right off the bat, man, I was like, wow, this is good. It was a good refresher from spending a lot of time in the city.
Mm.
And, I mean, like my earlier years, my formative years were in the Midwest, east side of Cleveland, but my mother grew up on a farm out in Iowa, Western Iowa.
Okay.
And I used to go out to the farm like when I was a little kid, like every summer, go out there for a couple weeks. And I loved it. Like that was like that was one of the best times of my life.
Yeah.
So I think there's and then my family was also big into outdoors. My parents, you know, when we went out, we went camping, you know. So they would take us to like state parks and, you know, so I had, you know, I did some hiking too. I'm not a serious outdoors person anymore, but I walked a long trail between high school and college, you know.
Oh,
so
sick.
Yeah, so you know, like, so I ended up in New York City, you know, from this kind of like
very rural environment,
rural suburban, you know.
Yeah.
I just needed to mix it up, and there was a lot of things
sure.
I liked about the city. I always liked arts. I liked the grungy scene. I liked music, live music. Still a big fan of music and live music. So New York City offered a lot of that, and it just offered a new experience. So long-winded way of saying, when I came back up here, I kind of felt like, oh yeah, man, I love this.
Tapped back into
what was formative to me when I was young, you know, and it clicked right away, you know. And I actually didn't even come into Wyndham probably for the first couple years that I was coming upstate, because
oh, wow.
I was going to Durham.
Yep.
And, you know, they like to cook, you know, I like to cook. We were hanging out on the property, working on the things that we like to work on, you know, cars and motorcycles and things like this. Yeah, it took me a couple years to even come over the hill into Wyndham. So that's how I ended up here. That's just like, you know, came up. And I was splitting my time, you know, probably for better part of, eight years or so, splitting my time. You know, I lived down in the city, and then I would come up and just kind of vacation up here.
Yeah. Well, for anyone who doesn't know Durham that well, it is farmland, farm after farm after farm.
Yep.
The hamlet of Durham is a small string of houses with a church in the middle, and
that's it.
Country, small town. I grew up singing hymns with my grandma in that church.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, so you know it.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah.
sir.
There used to be like a little ice cream parlor, I heard, you know, on the corner, but it goes back probably like 20 years, or well, way before my time.
Oh, you know? Even...
maybe before then.
Yeah, it's been quiet my whole life, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, even East Durham was quiet growing up.
Yeah.
So kind of a little bit of a renaissance there now.
Yeah, so I never... When I was coming up here, it never occurred to me. I didn't even know about Wyndham, and it never occurred to me that, oh, I'm gonna open a business here or permanently relocate here. Like that wasn't in my purview, you know, at all. Yeah. So, but here I am.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm so much better for it. I'm thankful that I'm here. You know, it's a great place. I ended up in an awesome place. And one of the themes for me, maybe for tonight, is like it's God's country. You know, that's the way I see it.
Absolutely.
Up here.
Absolutely.
You know, so. And I think that's one of the things that ties people together. There's a lot of different people in and around Wyndham. People come up here for different specific reasons. But if you came from outside of Wyndham and you ended up coming up here to vacation or relocated or have a second home or raising your family up here, I think everybody, one common thread is that it's God's country. You came up here because it's gorgeous. You know?
Once you know about it, it stays in your head. At that time, were you doing service industry? Were you in the restaurant industry?
Yeah. So, you know, I learned the service industry through New York City. And when I hit the ground in the early 90s, 1993, that was my first job was service industry. But it wasn't on the service end of the service industry. It was on the back end.
Okay.
It was on the design, build, maintenance end. It started with maintenance. I mean, I just hit the ground and I needed to make money. I left college with, you know, a nickel in my pocket and went to New York City and I'm like, I got to make some money. Like,
yeah, tail is old this time. Yeah.
Yeah. I got like, straight
right
away.
Into
so,
it.
Yeah, yep. Somebody introduced me to you know, a manager of a restaurant in Soho, you know, in the early 90s, and that's where I got my start in the service industry. And it was, here I am in the service industry, you know, but it's obviously it's developed and evolved over the years. So I really went to the Service Industry School of Hard Knocks in New York City. That's where I graduated from, you know?
Yeah.
It was like my higher education.
Yeah. Cut your teeth in the place, right?
Yeah.
Like the place to learn about that. So would you call that, were you doing managerial?
I did. Yeah. Ultimately I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took me a while to get there. I mean, initially I was doing maintenance. I was keeping places running. Back end stuff, you know, because I went to school for engineering. So I, you know, and I was like a little shop rat, you know.
Yeah.
I was like always in the garage, you know, working
turning
on
wrenches.
Stuff. Turning wrenches. Yep. Since I was a kid, you know. So I went to school for mechanical engineering and, you know, I wasn't really interested in getting a desk job. Really liked New York City. I liked the arts. I liked music. I was like, I'll spend a year in the city, and that turned into like 30 years. But that's what my skill set was, and the cool thing about restaurants, there's a lot of interesting things about restaurants, but the cool thing is they're a little factory. You know, there's a service end on the front end, there's a whole back end, there's an entire production team and production equipment, and all of that stuff needs maintenance and it has to run. So I was the guy that helped keep things running early in my career, and I did that for a number of years.
Well, that seems like it would serve you well to kind of understand the engine of the motor of the machine.
Absolutely.
Before trying to drive the machine. Like you understand every nut and bolt of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I guess people come at the industry from different ends, but that's the end I came at it from. And that's where I could be like quickly productive, you know, on that end. And I had a, you know, kind of unique skill set for that. So anyway, yeah, it was cool to come at it that way, and it's been really valuable to have all those skills and continuing to develop them, especially having a couple places running.
Yeah,
you know, so,
you know,
I know the back ends of them very well, and the front ends, and then things. Yeah, management. I got into management, and then I got into just gut renovating, design, build of my own place. That was
start
a
to finish
conceptual, right?
Did
so it was
you do
concept.
That? Did you do that in the city before you came up here?
Yeah. Yep, 61 local.
61 local.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Cobble Hill.
So that was you. That was your concept front to back.
Yeah. Call it an Alt-1 renovation in New York City. Gut Alt-1 renovation on the building. And it was a concept. And it did, it was a good place. You know, it was a place to be proud of. It was a community builder. and that's another theme for me. Like I've always been interested in building community, being a part of a good community. It's another thing up here that really Wyndham has in spades is good people and just a solid, tight-knit community.
Yep.
So 61 Local was Wyndham Local's kind of based off of it.
Gotcha.
In some ways. Cafe kind of vibe, open 8 a.m. to midnight. You come in there, get a cup of coffee, talk over ideas, go about your day, be productive, get shit done, and come back and grab a beer and, you know, relax.
Keep
and
it,
get something to eat.
And, do all of it. Stress yourself out and then calm yourself down.
Yeah, then come back and relax, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and there was no liquor at either that place in Brooklyn at 61 or here in Wyndham. There's beer and wine.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like a place. It wasn't a straight up bar. It was more a combination of, you know, day morning, day, evening.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get yourself to bed, get back up in the morning, rather, you know. Rather
yeah.
Go,
well,
go, you, rather than go too hard.
You clearly had it dialed because Wyndham Local is a jam.
Yeah.
So were you when you started moving towards starting something up here? Were you doing both?
Yeah.
Were you,
yeah. There was a time. There was a time there for a few years that I had all three places running. So the place in Brooklyn, Wyndham Local, was open, and then also the Tap House.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was, you know, and there I was, you know, just hustling and going back and forth quite a bit. I had a very good staff and management down in the city that could watch over the place and keep it running while I wasn't there. And that's key.
That's that community that we're talking about is having people that step in and back you up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that for a number of years until COVID. COVID was what shut down. It was forced to shut down the spot in Brooklyn.
Wow.
But I had been thinking about making the transition up here full time. And COVID's what really was like, you know, that is what made it happen.
Yeah,
it was forced to shut down, and it was going to take a lot of effort and energy and time to reopen it. Once we were allowed to reopen, and there was all these restrictions, and you had to have outdoor seating.
That's right.
You had to go down there, and the city, the guidelines where you had to build all these kind of like little sheds outside where people could eat outside. So I'd have to put in all this effort. I have to find a new staff and the whole thing. I was like, no, this is the time to make the move.
Make the cut.
Yep. So that's what I did. And there were some other factors. I mean, I got to say, like, when I moved down into the city, you know, in the early 90s, it was still kind of the tail end of the heyday of, like, it was affordable. It was fun.
Right.
It was the East Village was there. There was a scene. You could, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I was young at that time, a lot younger. So the city went this way and I went that way, you know? And so I really, the last 10 years while I had 61 Local open and running, you know, even the last five to eight years, it was like, it was a lot. And it became really expensive, expensive.
Yeah.
Highly regulated, overly regulated, and really expensive.
Yeah.
And it was, you're just working for someone else. I made, you know, a lot of money for other people, which, you know, at the end of the day, it's okay. But if you're broke doing it, that doesn't work.
What's the point?
Yeah, that doesn't work. So I thought it was a much better situation up here. I knew
enough. And it was matching your speed. Wyndham was matching your speed a little bit more at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It was,
So when did Wyndham Local open?
2016. I believe it was 16 in like summer, July.
Yeah, and you... Because we remember there were a lot of people that tried to do something in that building for a while. And then when you stepped in and took it over, I mean, obviously a full build out, a full concept, but has gotten to be to the place where it's a staple. It's a Wyndham staple. Mm-hmm. So kind of talk us through that build up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like I said, I did learn a lot of lessons in in New York, and I applied a lot of them to up here, although it's a different place, and I never wanted and I don't want someone to walk into Wyndham Local and think about New York City. Yeah. Absolutely not. So I just got to put that out there, that, you know, but I learned lessons about what, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and what people are looking for, and apply, you know, you want to try to, I think for me, I want to try to apply those lessons. You have to have a business that's viable. Otherwise it's not going to last. Yeah. Right. So you try to conceptualize something that you feel really good about, that you feel is valuable to the community. And that's part of it. And then you got to put these pieces together to make sure that it's viable and it's going to make money. And, you know, it's the restaurant industry no industry is easy.
No.
So it also took a while for Wyndham Local to get off the ground. And I know this, through experience of opening a place and opening other places for other people, you know, there's 3 to 5 years you have to, you got to slog it out and really
to the grindstone, push
hard. And it takes a while for people to just even know that it's there, but you can see a trend and you can see what's working and what's not, you know, maybe to your point, your question, you know, again, community was always really important, to me. And I think it's important to this community, just like a place that builds community and brings people together. And then you look around and just, for me, I look around and kind of just understand what's here and what's not here. What does the place need? You know, that's got to be part of the equation.
Yeah,
what does it need?
Is there a little backstory to how you came on that building?
Yeah, there is. Because
a very unique building for our town, but I would say just a very unique building in general.
Yeah, I agree with
former
that.
Former bank.
It's
beautiful brick,
high ceilings. It's got like 14-foot ceilings, and it's an open floor span, and it's south facing, and it's got windows on three sides. It just gets light all day long.
All day, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really, you know, again, very fortunate to have come upon the building. And the way that happened was, for like the last 6 months. That the 6 months before I opened the place, or before I secured the building, I was going there for coffee. It was a coffee shop. It wasn't Daly's. Daly's was there for many, many years. But she sold the place to these guys from Albany. It was called Stacks. And so they have a few locations. I don't know if it's still there in Albany, but they had a few locations in Albany, and they decided to come into Wyndham, and they just couldn't make it work in Wyndham. But all they were doing is espresso. And again, like, it's a small town. You know,
right.
you have to be, for me, it's like you have to offer more. You don't have, like, you don't have the concentration of people to just say, I'm going to be one thing, because you don't have enough people here that want that one thing. I found, you know, you need more diversity. So they were just they were espresso shop. That was
just
it. They had like biscotti and a couple cookies, and they had good espresso. You know, you could get a nice latte. So I was like, coming down. And, you know, I got to be honest. Well, as soon as I walked in the building, first time I walked in, I was like, this is a nice building. You know,
yeah.
And I'd sit down and have an espresso. I have a cup of coffee and espresso, and, you know, a cookie or whatever in the morning, get my day started. And I was like, I knew it was being underutilized, but I was like, you know, I remember thinking, man, I know what I would do with this building if I had it. So one day I come down for my morning coffee, and there's a note on the door that, you know, thank you so much, Wyndham, for all your support. We've moved, you know, we're no longer here. Come see us in Albany, you know, Stacks, you know, the manager of the Stacks, you know, is it? And I was like, wow. You know, so I walked across the street to the insurance agency.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't know who they were. I just knocked and walked in. Hi, you know, it's like, do you know who owns that building across the street? You know, cause I was like, and they knew it was Adam, and they knew, and they put me in touch with him. I met Adam that same day.
Yeah.
He came down. He was looking to get someone in there, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how it happened, you know? And I, so I was probably, I was going there somewhat regularly for like 6 months
mm-hmm.
while that place was functioning. As soon as that sign was on the door, bang, went across the street, talked to Adam.
Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, maybe, you know, and this is when things in New York were just like, you know, it's not making sense anymore. So, you know, so that was the start of it.
You built your outro. you built it up.
yeah. So, that's how it started. But it's developed, since then. I had a concept. It's still pretty true to the concept in terms of being a community place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and having all those things there. But I didn't, another thing, I feel like for me, especially on, it's almost like it's an art project in some ways. It's a one-off. It's not, it isn't a franchise. It's not like you have all the pieces that you know exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
You don't. You start with something and it develops over time. So it's cool. It's developed over the course of, what is it now, 6-7 years. And like we never had Thai food to start with.
Yeah, when did that come in?
Pretty soon. Because Sarah,
who
really runs the front of house there,
absolutely,
she's Thai, mm-hmm. so she's a good cook. And you're looking around in the community and thinking, if I wanted Thai food right now, where would I go?
How far would I have to drive?
Yeah, you'd have to drive
45 minutes to an hour.
It could be 20 minutes to an hour. Yeah 25 easy. Or 30 minutes to an hour if you got to go up to Albany.
I was going to say Albany. Maybe Hudson has something. Maybe.
Wasana. That was there. So I don't know if it's still there, but Wasana was there. So that's where I was going for Thai food. So I was like, I want Thai food. So I would go it was in Catskill.
There you
Main
go.
Street,
okay.
Catskill.
Yep.
So I was going down to Wasana. And they did a good job.
Sure.
But you got to drive down to Catskill. You're driving a half an hour. So I was like, we'll get kind of the framework of the local put together and get the place open. And then we brought on Thai food and live music. I got to say,
I was going to ask that next.
Yeah.
How soon did you bring live music?
That was pretty quick. And I was really fortunate to meet Q Gerhardts,
mm-hmm.
Who is a great guy. He's a musician and he's our local town luthier. He's a builder. He builds instruments and he refurbishes them and refinishes them. And he's a great musician and he knows everybody in town. So we struck it up real quick. I went down there with coffee and I think it was donuts at the time. And I went down and just he had his shop over by Chrisman's.
Mm-hmm.
And I just introduced myself and brought him a coffee and we just gelled. I love music and he loved playing it, and I said, maybe we can have some live music. And at the time there wasn't much live music in town.
There really still isn't. You're one of the only consistent places for live music.
Yeah, we're consistent. Yeah. There's definitely more. The Chicken Run was the live music scene. That was it for the most part. But I talked to Q. We got it going pretty quickly, and we've been very consistent with it. At this point, we have music every Saturday.
Yeah.
And then about half the Fridays right now, we do a community jam session, and that's on a Friday. That's open to the public. Anybody with an instrument that want to make some noise, come make some noise. And either Q is there or Ron Gutierrez helps run that.
Yeah.
One Friday a month.
I think the standout is the consistency.
Yeah.
The other places will occasionally have live music or have something, but you guys have been consistent with live music summer and winter.
Yep.
All year round. And
consistency is important.
Very much so.
Consistency is important.
Yeah.
It's important for,
especially as a restaurant, a local establishment is like, you're open when you say you're going to be open. The food is what it's been. Mm-hmm. And just to go back to that, you wanted it like kind of a community space. I think that point was proven the other day when probably six of us found each other in there out of nowhere. It was one text message, and then all of a sudden we were all sitting at the table. What day was that? Sunday? Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And it just, it was just the spot. Everybody just popped in.
Yeah, I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
Good.
So to that point. And then, so you decided at some point that one venture wasn't enough. Why not go for two? With the closing of Cave Mountain.
Yeah. So, I'll give you a little backstory on that. Cave Mountain closed, and the Tap House opened there after Cave Mountain closed.
Mm-hmm.
And the build-out of the Tap House, the initial build-out, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't own it at the time.
Okay.
But it was owned by Adam. So I had a very good relationship with Adam because he owned the bank building where the Wyndham Local is. So he knew me. He and I knew each other well. Yep. He knew me
absolutely.
Well. And he owned the Chicken Run at the time. Okay. So, but he was getting on to the next phase of his life. He was getting into like retirement phase. So we kind of opened the Tap House like right at kind of at the tail end where he decided, you know, through a number of factors probably, that he really wanted to retire and not have the stress of running restaurants because it can be stressful and it can be a lot of work. So I think he opened Tap House. It ran under his ownership for, I want to say, 1.5 years or 2 years, right about there. I took it over in the December of 2019. It was right before ski season. And it was the last 3 months before COVID. See, COVID shut things down in, March 2020, right?
Yeah.
So we got through ski season. I swear to God, we got through ski season, and then COVID shut things down. It was like immediately after ski. But so in some ways, you know, at least we got through there, you know, because a bulk of your business is right there.
Oh, absolutely.
So we got through there. That was a shot in the arm. And then the reality is that a lot of people moved up here during COVID. I mean, COVID up here didn't have nearly the negative impact that it did down in the city.
We saw a lot of growth.
Yeah, yeah. It had a lasting negative impact in the city, and a pretty tragic impact in the city. And fortunately, up here, it wasn't that way. And yeah, there was growth after the initial kind of shutdown, because places did get shut down. It was takeout only for a while. But after that, a lot of people relocated. They bought properties up here. Properties values went up. And that's just the way it is. Sometimes it's luck, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know? So yeah, that was another reason, you know, to make those decisions to just be here, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I would applaud you as regular figurehead in the town, mm-hmm. A local employer, mm-hmm. two really good businesses in town. That's something to be proud of. And, you know, we obviously are patrons of that on a regular basis. And that proves the proof is in the pudding, or the proof is in the tie, right? So,
yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, here's the thing: the beauty of being up here, you know, like I said, it's God's country. People come up here, because it's beautiful, and they want to have a good time.
Yeah.
They want to enjoy themselves. That's why they come here. You know, how many places can you? I don't know how many places I lived for any length of time. I'm going to say zero, other than Wyndham, where people are there. The vast majority of people are there, or they come there because they want to enjoy life.
Yeah.
And they love nature, right? They love nature.
They want to be outside.
Right? They want to be outside. They want to enjoy nature in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of ways to enjoy nature up here, whether you're a winter person and you're skiing, snowboarding on the mountain, or you're up here in the summer and you're hiking, or you're fly fishing, you're golfing, right? Or you're just like enjoying the outdoors, you're foraging. There's so many ways to enjoy nature. So it's just cool that's why people are here, right? That's why they came up here. And it's like my job, I feel like one of my most important jobs is to show people a good time. That's my job. I gotta make sure they're here and they enjoy themselves to their fullest. And so I've had a lot worse jobs in my life. So you know, as much as the restaurants can be challenging, it's like the job is like we gotta make sure people have a good time. And I think it's also just a good life lesson just for myself. Like you You can't show someone a good time unless you're not having a good time. You have to have a good time to show people a good time. You got to be responsible when you're running a business and you're running a restaurant. It's not like Good Times Charlie, and you can't just go, you know, off the deep end, right? Yeah. But you have to show that kind of feeling of just like enjoying yourself, and you also have to impart that on whatever crew, staff, you know, that you have in those businesses. So your staff and your management, everyone generally has to feel like they're comfortable and they're here to like show people a good time and enjoy themselves. So I find that to be like a really good, fun challenge. And I mean, where else would you want to be other than where people want
to
just
everybody
be,
wants to be, yeah, where
they want to enjoy their lives, yeah. You know, and in a really good way. You know, so
absolutely.
That's like, yeah, man, I feel so, you know, and to that point, both the Wyndham Local, the cafe, and the bar, Tap House, I always felt this too, you know, you go into restaurants that are themed. We've all been there, mm-hmm. themed restaurants. You walk in, you're like, oh, wow. Parisian restaurant. I'm in Paris right now, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them in New York. When I worked on some of them, I helped build some of them. But those weren't the places I went to. I went to the places that made me feel that I was in the right place. That I was in the right place, you know. So I also feel like that's what I hope both those places impart on people. You walk in the Tap House, you're like, oh yeah, this is what Wyndham and the Northern Catskills is about.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in the place, you should feel like you're in where you are. You know,
warm,
this is like
comfortable.
Warm, comfortable. You should, you know, remind you of like all the great things there are to do in and around the place that you're in.
It should all be complimentary.
Yeah, rather than making you feel that you're somewhere else. I don't want to be anywhere else.
No,
right
be
now.
In Wyndham.
When you're in Wyndham, be in Wyndham.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. Yeah, that was. Yeah.
So looking forward to your new project. I mean, I think that lives up to that statement through and through. Noticed something that was missing locally on Main Street as far as shops go, things for people to do, you know, off season or even on season when, you know, after the skiing's done for the day or summertime when people are walking Main Street, just one more, you know, cool thing for them to enjoy. So
yeah.
You want to talk us?
So something in the works here that you know a lot of people know about. It's not open yet, but the old insurance agency, the one that I walked into when I was inquiring about the bank building.
Yeah,
you know, it's serendipity, and luck would have it, I was able to secure that property. Ray, great guy. He ran Mountaintop Agency for years. He was my insurance agent, and he had a great staff there. I can't say enough good things about him, but he retired, you know, was looking to sell the property, and one thing led to another, and I ended up with it. And it is directly across the street from the Wyndham Local, so there's value there for me in just having the property right there. So it's an awesome location. It's an awesome building. There's a really nice barn in the back that we can use.
Well, you went right into it with expanding something that was already happening at the local during the summertime.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
so,
was the farmer's market.
Yeah, so exactly.
It's
so
an established regular Saturday and Sunday, or just that was
Saturday.
Saturdays.
Saturdays.
And it was an established regular activity, and that gave you the opportunity to expand it.
Yep. Yeah, so one thing we didn't talk about was the farmer's market. We've hosted that farmer's market at Wyndham Local. That was started and still run by Tyler from Mossy Stone Farm, and he and I have worked together on that market. I remember him in the early days going to these markets, running around, getting his vegetables. He has a really nice little farm up there on County Route 10. And he was getting his vegetables together to and schlepping them to these different markets. I was like, brother, Wyndham needs a market. We should just put a market in right here in the parking lot.
Right here. We have the space. Let's go. I told him,
I said, when you're ready, you let me know. You know, you don't have to go anywhere. You just come right down
the hill.
And let's just put a market in, you know. So it didn't take long. You know, it took maybe one season of him doing that. And then he's like, I think I'm going to open a market in the parking lot. I said, yeah, let's do it. So we ran the Wyndham Farmers. I call it a farmer and craft market because he's the main farmer. And then there's people that are really talented craftspeople in that market. So we ran that thing out of the parking lot at Wyndham Local for until this season, right?
Yeah.
And it was growing. It was getting too big. And the parking lot, we did what we could do with what we had, you know.
Yeah.
But I knew it really needed to grow. And I didn't want to lose the market. I wanted to see it grow. And if I didn't have the space for it, it would have to grow somewhere else. So that was part of this acquisition that happened in the spring. As soon as we closed on that property, I put the market there. It was literally the first day of the market. I think was about a week after we closed.
Amazing.
So it lined up, you know, and so the market has. It was a really good market this year. It's a much better space for it. It's on a legitimate lawn. It's got a little bit nicer back.
Keeps that parking lot open.
It keeps the parking lot open. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a better backdrop than two dumpsters, which is what we were working with before.
Yeah.
So it's got a really nice backdrop of actually the mountain.
You're looking at the mountain, absolutely.
And you're on a lawn and there's enough room for comfortably 10 vendors, maybe up to 15, but, you know, 10, 12 vendors.
And the flow through is wonderful. I mean, the ability for people to pop in and pop out. You know, they know who they're there to see. A lot of the locals are so familiar with it that they can pop in, chat, get the things that they want to get, and get out. And it's a very easy in and out process. Perfect location for that.
Yeah.
So that put that property right into use.
Yep. Yeah.
Within a week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's great. So we had a good season. Actually, the last market of the season was this past Saturday. So it's going to be as good or better or next year. We're just going to keep it growing. So that was one thing right off the bat. So that was beautiful. And then the main concept though for that building is for retail. I've noticed, other people have noticed, I've had conversations with the Chamber of Commerce President Lisa Jaeger, who's a good friend, for years about the need for more retail on Main Street. So, because of this opportunity, I'm like, let's do it. You know, let's put in a really nice retail shop on Main Street. And I got to start with, first and foremost, It will be clothing and gift items for sure, but first and foremost is the market items. So you don't have to just come on Saturday in season to get the market items, right? So all the craft items from the market, I don't know about all, we'll have to see, but whatever ones are going to work in that store, I'm going to put them in the store. That's probably going to be the very first thing that happens with the store, is that when you walk in there, it's the market.
It's a vendor that everybody knows,
yep.
loves,
products that
knows
they want.
The product.
Yeah, I couldn't get up here on a Saturday,
wow.
or I'm only up here midweek. No problem. You could come into the store and you can buy those items. We're not going to have every item that those vendors carry, but we'll have a selection of items from those vendors. And on Saturdays, that section I would just put like a little sign and said, "You want these great products? Just get them at the market.
Get them directly from the vendor. Go talk to the maker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when they're there and the market's open, I'll just buy direct from the vendor. That no problem. And then when the market closes, then they can buy them from the store. So I think that's probably the very first thing that's going to go in that store. I'm confident that's going to happen.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's good. And then I want to have fun with the store and have it representative of where you are. And we don't really have like an everyday clothing store with, I think national brands are important. We don't have really stores that have national brands outside of the Outfitters. And I got to hand it to Nick and Lurie over at the Outfitters. They do a great job. But I don't want to open an outfitting shop. You know, I think I would, for me, it's more like, you know, brands like Levi's and Carhartt and things like that, and it, hoodies, branded hoodies.
Well, I think one of the stories maybe we had shared before was, as people are coming into the area with no retail space to speak of for some of these kind of regular daily things, if people are up here for a weekend, for a wedding, they don't have, there's no place close for them to get something if they need something.
No, they'd have to go to Catskill. They'd have to drive to Catskill, and they'd have to go to Walmart.
Right. 30-35 minutes.
Yeah. And it's not just the time of driving down there, it's the experience of going to Walmart. I don't want, you know, Walmart's got its place.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. But I don't want to send people that came up to this
to
beautiful
be in Windham,
to be in God's country. Yeah, you don't want to send someone that's in God's country
to
Walmart.
To
you know
mountaintop.
I mean? Because
to
they
be
need...
on the mountaintop yeah. is like, stay here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stay here.
Keep them
we
here.
We got you.
Yeah. And yeah. Give them a really, you know, nice environment and make them feel good about where they are, and they can stay right in town. And, you know, so yeah. Yeah. So that's the idea. And it's, again, it's looking around a small community and just seeing what's here, and what's not here, what's
yeah.
missing, you know, and how can we add some diversity
that complements
what we have, exactly,
yeah.
complementary to what we have.
And I love that the idea of using the vendors and craftspeople that you already have,
yeah,
who are already you know, well known. To people who go to the farmers market on a regular basis, they obviously love being a part of what you're doing and the happenings in Windham, and to give them a permanent space for that, or you know, to where it's like, hey, here's a little more solid, you know, solidifying your place rather than it being, you know, just on the weekends. We're giving you an opportunity. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. And then checking some of those boxes. I mean, we've talked about that for a long time. That is one of those things that people come up, especially in the summertime. And yeah, you're outside. You go walk the path. You go for a hike. Well, what do you do with those couple hours in between?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we're not ready to go to dinner yet, or we had lunch. We already did our hike. You know, where do we go? What do we do?
Yeah.
And trying to provide that and capture that audience a little bit and say, hey, we see you, we got you, you know, that yeah. give them a little something more, keep them on Main Street a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to say, I get this question often about what is there to do in Windham?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this happens all the time, especially at the cafe, because people come in there for coffee, they're starting their day.
Yep.
And they may or may not have plans for that day or the next day that they're up here, and they may be new to Windham. A lot of new people in town, because there's a lot
all
of new venues here, wedding
yeah,
venues.
There's
time. Like all the time new people coming into town, and they're like, hey, what's there to do in Windham? You know, it's a good question. If you didn't, I would have the same question if I came into Windham and I had never come here and I was looking. I want to be oriented. So I'll mention a little project that I have been working on, and we just released the latest version of it, and it's the Windham Visitor's Guide. This we started this actually during COVID. All right, so as we talked about, hate to bring COVID up. But as we talked about, we were forced to shut down. You know, and we, you know, and there was some incentives to keep people employed and keep them productive, doing something. I'm like, well,
sure.
you know, okay, well, we're shut down. You know, we want to keep people employed. There's money there to employ people, so we gotta, you know, let's be productive. You know, so I had actually talked about this idea of having a visitor's guide and a town map for a while. But when we got shut down in 2020, that was the time to like, okay, we got time on our hands. Let's
yep,
put this map together.
Closed. Yeah.
So, you know, the Windham doesn't have a comprehensive, doesn't have any map, I don't think, of like businesses that are here. But you go to other towns and, you know, they've got their standard, it's kind of a cartoon type style map, right? Mm-hmm. Go to Saratoga, mm-hmm. Lake Placid, Lake George. They all have it.
All
right?
Destinations that people have this map. Coming here from all over. Yeah.
People know this, but Wyndham doesn't have it. So let's make it. All right. So we made a really nice black and white version of it back in 2020, and it was getting pretty dated. A lot of changes in this town since 2020. A lot of changes, right? Oh, yeah. So earlier this year, I'll mention Jen Schwartz from Briars and Brambles.
Of course. Yep.
She approached me. She was always a big fan of the guide, of the map, and said, hey, let's get this thing updated. You know, what's going to take to get it updated? And so she really, put the screws to it and was poking me and in a good way. And I was like, all right, let's do it. That's it. We're going to make it happen. So we did. Her and I worked on it, and Renee Bauman, who did the original illustrations for the map.
The illustrations are amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a standout part of the map. Yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, mm-hmm. She does an illustration of every business on Main Street, the front of the building. So as you look on the map, each building matches visually to the existing business building. It's beautiful, first off. And, I mean, it's just, once you look at it, it's a no-brainer. It's just such a cool way to put that together.
Yeah, she's talented. I got to give a shout-out to the Wyndham Foundation for helping underwrite this project as well. And the Chamber of Commerce and Lisa Jaeger for her support. So yeah, a few people that got together and made this happen. So we updated it. It looks good. The backside, there's a folded version, and there's a backside of it that's got a storyboard, more illustrations. So I don't know, Jess, if you've seen this, but the backside of the original map was an events listing, and I learned really quickly that, like, wow, you can make something dated really quickly.
Yeah, as soon as the date,
3 month events listing is like, this thing is out of date, you know. Then
yes,
so it's like, okay, don't put any dates on it, you know, so we can keep this thing relevant longer. So it was Jen Schwartz who offered to write the back section, which is kind of like a why Wyndham, like why would you come to Wyndham? So it's four seasons of Wyndham, and you know, a lot of whoever thinks of Wyndham as a ski town, you know, just a winter town, it's just kind of a nice, like, hey, there's things to do all year round here.
Again, if you haven't seen it, so on the back of the map there is the season by season, just description of things to do, what there is on the mountaintop, a spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And then just a description of some of our favorite things. So the forests and the industry, the Catskill waterways, wildlife, and a storied destination. Kind of a, not necessarily an exhaustive history of the area, but gives some of the footnotes and kind of points people in directions. There's a lot of old history up here. It's been a tourist destination for a long, long time. I mean, we had Kate Chrisman on. And we're just talking about, you know, family lineage of people who worked in this, in the service industry and in, you know, in and had big resorts up here that date way back. And that's such an ingrained, you know, hospitality is such an ingrained part of this community. I mean, it's essential to businesses such as yours. And kind of putting the best foot forward and providing for them as they come and see what, you know, give them more reasons to love the mountaintop as if there weren't enough already, right? So very, very cool, very well done. Shout out to Jen Schwartz on this as well. Just a very cool project. Again, just seeing a need that the community has and instead of waiting for somebody else to take the reins on it or you know, just batting the idea around, you know, I mean, shout out to Jen Schwartz, an absolute doer. Shout out to you as well for being, I mean, just boots on the ground and accomplishing things. And this, I think, is an absolute standout on that.
Yeah, so now when people come in and ask, what's there to do in Wyndham, I hand them I just hand them the map. I'll talk with them about whatever they want to talk about and whatever I know, but a lot of the answers are on the map, and there's so much to do that you can't remember it all anyway. You know, it's just you're trying to think of where the trailheads are and where all the shops are and all the restaurants. It's just like, just hand on the map. And then one other thing I'll just mention on this, we had discussed it for so long, but we finally got to it, making this thing an interactive PDF. So there's just QR code on the map. So if you don't want to carry it around or if it's posted, I'm giving you guys this one. You're hanging this in the studio here.
Oh, so, amazing.
All right, so this is a flat version here, and the QR code's up there. So if somebody sees this on the wall, they just put that QR code on their phone. It links to the PDF, and it's interactive. So all the business listings and all the buildings are interactive. You click on a business listing, it'll go to the website of that business. You get more information.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
So this one's for the wall.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much for that. That is awesome. That is awesome. Yep. And the other thing I would just put in on this as well is, with all of the changes that happened in town with new businesses, with change of owners, with whatever, nobody was excluded. Everybody was, whether they knew it or not, they were included in it. I mean, it was such a community focus. It's like everybody is getting their place on this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like,
it was important.
And it was, they weren't spearheading the project. The project was to make sure everyone had their place on the map.
Yeah.
And that is just so applaudable that, I mean, that just speaks everything. It speaks all of the truth, and that is all of that labor to accomplish something so pivotal as this to the community. And it was such a point. It was like, hey, we got this. We're doing it. This is my project, my burden, I'm going to put this together, and everybody's included. And I think that's just such a, I can't speak highly enough of that. I think that, again, the proof is in the, the proof's in the map.
Cool.
So, Dave, thank you so much. This is awesome. This is going to get a mainframe spot in the studio for sure.
Sweet.
Dave, thank you so much for your time. This has been amazing.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. And again, doing great work. Yeah, this is what Wyndham needs right here at this table, right here, what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
So, thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Cheers.
That was Dave Liotti, owner-operator of the Wyndham Local and the Tap House Grill here in Wyndham, New York. For more information, go to their websites, taphousegrillwyndham.com and thewyndhamlocal.com. This is the Hear Hear podcast, hosted by Jesse Novak, produced by Evan Gutcha. Thank you very much for listening.